are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a stacked show this afternoon. We're going to send it to Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky is going to join us straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Vegas Point Blank, the daily column over at sportsbookreview.com. Dave Malinsky steps up and in and helps us all get a little bit smarter. Then Tony Cincotta is going to join us and dumb us back down again to where we were before Dave joined us. And then Robert Littell will join us and make us all a little bit smarter again. Got some great guests on the program, Dave Malinsky, Tony Cincotta, and Robert Littell. We're talking NFL football with Dave Malinsky. Dallas Cowboys came out flatter than a two-day old Budweiser last night. But they put it together. Arizona was unable to take advantage of Dallas's flatness early. Dallas nails down the victory, and now they're laying 7.5 points to the Rams this week. We'll talk a little bit about that football game with Dave Malinsky. We'll talk a little baseball with Dave Malinsky. We'll talk a little college football with Dave Malinsky. We'll talk a little NBA basketball with Dave Malinsky, although Malinsky's not the only guest on the show. We're talking DFS football with the Tony Cincotta. Like we do every week, we like to take an early sneak peek, look ahead at the salaries across the boards on DraftKings for each position. We're going to talk quarterbacks, a little running backs on the program today with Cincotta, although I'm still upset about my bad beat, man, my DraftKings bad beat, and it was a bad one. 132 points going into the Sunday nighter, and I had Crabtree and Carr, man. It all just would have been gravy. Every time they would have got a point, you know, my money just would have went up. Yeah, didn't happen. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. It is what it is. Robert Littell is going to join us at Black Sports Online. Great website. You hear him on a Fantasy Sports Radio Network on a daily basis. Robert Littell will join us. And what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about North Korea. And what do you think we're going to talk about? All the controversy that's going on out there. I'm sick of it, to be honest with you. I'm sick of the protesting. I'm sick of the right. I'm sick of the left. I'm sick of the cupcakes, snowflakes, and every other freaking flake on both sides here. And it's funny because I'm a pretty political guy, but I just want to bet on football right now. And it's to the point where I have to start capping the protests. You know, Ben Roethlisberger said he didn't sleep at all on Saturday night. What happened to the Steelers on Sunday? They lost. You know, I think this was a distraction for a lot of National Football League teams this past week. We'll see if it carries over into this week. We're going to break it down with Robert Littell. So with everything that's going on in the football world, man, and I'm deep into football right now, although I'm going to start paying attention to baseball once again next week. And all this protest stuff that's going on, you know, it's insane because I watch so much sports and I'm so involved in this stuff. To get away from it, I actually follow the political world. And now I'm following the political world, and it's actually the football world all mixed in together, but it was only inevitable that we were going to arrive here, right? But I don't want to talk about that crap right now. The only thing I'm protesting are the crap-ass offensive coordinators in the National Football League. Take a knee for that. You guys suck. But I do want to talk a little bit about Carmelo Anthony going to the Oklahoma City Thunder. We haven't really nailed down our take on this yet. As Carmelo for Cantor, McDermott, second-round draft pick, Carmelo Anthony, now a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. You got to give some credit to the Oklahoma City Thunder fans, man. They were waiting for him at the airport like he was John Lennon or something like that. It's like the Beatles coming to America. Carmelo Anthony going to Oklahoma City. So you look at what the Oklahoma City Thunder have done in the offseason here. You know, bringing in Paul George, that's what matters. Now, Carmelo Anthony coming in here, it doesn't hurt them. You know, you can't say it's a bad thing that they have Carmelo Anthony. Now, listen, Carmelo Anthony's reputation has taken a pretty major hit over the last couple of years, but so has Phil Jackson's. Like, who's did it with the New York Knicks? And it was a strange saga with New York, and we don't want to live in the past right now, but he should have let go a long time ago in New York, and they should have made this happen in New York a long time ago. Ending up in Oklahoma City is an interesting place right now, but I have to wonder if they're aware that they're only allowed to play with one basketball. You know, you got Paul George, you got Russell Westbrook, and you got Carmelo Anthony. You know, none of these guys are really known for liking to share the basketball, so to speak. Although, I do believe that Westbrook can be a point guard. I think he can. He's not a selfish player, but at the same point in time, he's at his best when he has the ball in his hands all the time. There's going to be a lot of chemistry issues here early, but there's going to be a lot of chemistry issues early across the league. Are the Oklahoma City Thunder right now, are they better than the Golden State Warriors? No. But did they just put themselves in the same category as the Houston Rockets, as the San Antonio Spurs did right now? I'd say yes. I think they're right there. I mean, you've got Golden State, and then you've got everybody else. You got the new-look Minnesota T-Wolves that are freaking stacked right now. Hell, even Sacramento's got a pretty decent roster. You know what they say? It's true. The best really is. The West really is the best, so to speak. There's some good teams in the East still, but it's going to be off the freaking hook. Now, listen, Oklahoma City are damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't. You know, it's tough to get guys to go to Oklahoma City, so they've got some pretty high-profile dudes right there. You know what their problem is, though? They've got no one else after that. Man, their depth is thinner than an Olsen twin, all right? They've got five guys on the floor. After that, you know, it's pretty tough. But nevertheless, they're going to be a really exciting basketball team to watch play. Now, as I stated, are any of these teams, Chris Paul with the Rockets, you look at the new look, T-Wolves, are any of these teams good enough to knock off the Golden State Warriors right now? Probably not, but at least they're freaking trying. At least they're trying. And it makes me so mad, man, when I hear people talk, well, you know what? What are they going to do? You got to wait it out. You know, no one's going to beat the Warriors. No one's going to beat the Cavaliers. Better not do anything. So let's just sit here and not sell tickets and not sell jerseys and not try to entertain people for the next 7 years because the Golden State Warriors are good. I like the fact that these NBA GMs are all freaking in right now, man. Life is short, all right? And general managers have a couple of years to get things done before they're fired. We have a couple of years to get things done in our own personal lives before we get fired and before we expire. You paying attention to what's going on in the world right now? If I'm putting together a basketball team, I'm not worried about what's going on in 4 years. I'm worried about right now. And the fact of the matter is, don't forget, it is entertainment. You do have to sell tickets. You do have to sell something to your fans. So I love the fact that the NBA GMs are all in right now. And I'll tell you what, with all the crap that's going on in the NFL and a lot of boring football going on in the NFL, I have a feeling with NBA tip-off just a couple of weeks away right now that a lot of fans are going to be all in once the NBA tips off as well. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzi. It's a great time of the year to be a sports fan, a fantasy player, a sports bettor. To me, this is the best time of the year, specifically what we have coming up in store for us. And even better, the NBA tips off earlier than usual. NHL, they drop the puck next week. Major League Baseball playoffs start next week. There's going to be a ton of options, man, when you're clicking around watching games on a nightly basis. You can pick your poison, pick your sport, and there's going to be a hell of a lot of options to bet on as well. So we got a great show lined up for you. We got something for everybody. We got some fantasy football talk with Tony Cincata, Roto expert. We'll talk a little DFS. And as I stated, Tony's the coolest guy on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network by far. He might be the sleaziest guy in the network too, but he's the coolest guy. So Tony Cincata is going to join us. We've had good success singling out and pointing out players to keep your eye on and to take in DraftKings. Robert Littell is going to join us, the president, creator, host of BlackSportsOnline.com. And, of course, the radio show Black Sports Online. You hear it right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So I'm sure we'll upset some people as we're going to talk about all this flag stuff, controversies and protests. But as I stated off the top, I'm more interested in how we can take this protest stuff and use it to our advantage and make money on it. As we talked about, Ben Roethlisberger said he couldn't sleep at all on Saturday night. I don't know. Did Ben Roethlisberger play very well on Sunday? No, he didn't. But I don't know. He hasn't played very well at all this year at any time. But that's another story. But I'm all fired up for this stuff, actually. You know, Ben Roethlisberger didn't like the way that the Steelers handled the situation. He's trying to backtrack. Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't like the way you handled the situation in a bathroom stall, Ben, either. You know, like, really, just shut up, dude. Just shut up, Ben. You know, Jim Kelly, I lost a lot of respect for LeSean McCoy. And I'm sure LeSean McCoy's losing sleep at night. Like I said, I lost a lot of respect for Kelly when he cost me $18,000 against the Redskins. That's another story. Let's bring in Dave Malinsky right now. And I got a ton of stuff I want to get to with Dave. You can read his column over at sportsbookreview.com. How you doing, Dave?
You know, Gabe, I was almost hoping that the anthem stuff would have died by now. And, gee, you just brought back memories of the last 48 hours. I was hoping it was over.
Yeah, I know. And I'm hoping that it's over coming into the coming into week four. I think it'll probably settle down a little bit. Trump will move on and tweet about something else, and everyone will move on with their lives. But there's still a residual effect right now, Dave. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I saw Tomlin right now. Put it this way. I've never once in my life seen CNN ever, once in my life ever, cut away from their newscast to go to Mike Tomlin's press conference, okay? That's where we're at right now.
It is such a circus, and unfortunately, it's a mirror to ourselves. And one of the things we've learned in this country, on our side of the border from you, we learned through the election cycle last year that we're not nearly as bright as we try to pretend that we are. And when you see the reactions and responses, regardless of what side anyone's on, boy, the level of discourse is alarmingly low.
That's a good way of putting it. All right, so let's switch gears and talk about the play calling discourse in the National Football League, and the intelligence of offensive coordinators has been extremely low this year as well, Dave. But you've been talking about the offensive lines a lot, so I think a lot of times the OCs are thinking, if I try to do this, I'm just going to get my quarterback killed. So let's just run the ball up the middle and punt the ball and move on to the next drive. Seems like a lot of guys have been handcuffed so far this year. Very few teams are in a full rhythm. And you and I were talking last night during that Dallas Cowboy football game. And, yeah, they won the football game, but they won the football game because Dak Prescott made plays. That offensive line that everybody talks about being invincible, they're not creating the same holes that they have in the past 2 years, Dave. They're just not.
No, and that's an offensive line that we thought coming into the season was going to be the best. And that really mattered because if we, you know, instead of thinking about the skill players, if we thought, okay, the best offensive lines is what we want to get behind, you would have at the start of the season put Dallas no worse than second or third, easily could have rated them the best. They got very little push at the line of scrimmage again yesterday. Now, we don't mind the Denver game as much now. In retrospect, when you see that Denver held LeSean McCoy to a yard and a half per rush, so you like what Denver's doing. But Arizona's rush defense is good, not great, so that Dallas offensive line is underperforming.
So it sets up, and, you know, Dave, I don't know if you feel the same way, as I stated. We're 3 weeks in right now, and I'm still not really sure if I have a feel for a majority of the teams in the National Football League. But the fact of the matter is, as Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. And after next Monday night, a quarter of the season is going to be completed. So these games count. This isn't baseball. It's, you know, you always talk, Dave, about baseball being a marathon, not a sprint. You know, football is a sprint. It's not really a marathon. It really is a sprint. So we have another week of critical football games. And I'll tell you what, if the Rams are able to win this football game against the Cowboys, then they're going to start to believe that they can win this division.
There is a vulnerability at the top. I mean, if you're the Rams and you're sitting at home watching the Cardinals play last night and you see the Seahawks, you know, get beat to Tennessee, you do start to believe. And think about what that does for what has previously been a bad team. When you believe you can not only win a game but win the division, you stay after practice for extra reps. You stay in the weight room a little bit longer. You watch more film. There are all these little things that traditional winners do that losing teams don't do. So we focus on two things. The upstarts, when they believe, will work harder. But what starts to happen to teams like the Giants lose one more game? And what re-energizes the Giants over the entire rest of the season? Once these teams that thought they could make the playoffs can't make it anymore, boy, the air goes right out.
We have an interesting situation here with the Rams with extended rest and the Cowboys on a short week as well. I don't know the data as far as the Thursday teams coming off a Thursday game as opposed to a team that played specifically on the road on a Monday night. But it has to be an advantage for the Rams here, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's not a lot of data because they don't allow it to happen very often. I mean, what we did get week number two is we had a fresh Miami team, you know, taking on a tired Chargers team that came off of a Monday. And it shows you maybe how much that impact was. If you saw the way Miami
both,
played
both teams
the Jets,
won, Dave. Both teams won. Tampa Bay and Miami both didn't play in week one and both won in week two.
Yeah, it's just that the added advantage to Miami is they caught a team, you know, coming off of a Monday. So that does make a difference. And you get that extra prep. I mean, is there a better way to scout an opponent than for your entire team to be able to sit and watch them play live? I think that is a plus to the Rams. I don't know about their confidence level yet. They get down in a game on the road, I'm not quite sure. But they were such an undercoached team the last couple of years that they might be enjoying the fact that they have real coaching now.
I think we have a live dog here with the Rams. I think the number's a little bit high. The Cowboys have never been a good home favorite. We'll start crunching the numbers as the week goes on. Interesting football game with the Steelers and the Ravens, a divisional tilt. And, you know, you got the Browns, you know, the Bengals are 0-3, but they're really not fully out of it right now. They just need to string together a couple of wins, and they've had a tough schedule. They've got a winnable game against the Browns, but both the Steelers and Ravens coming off. Pittsburgh seems to be talking more about the anthem stuff still than what actually happened on the football field. Nobody's really talking about the fact that they lost to the Chicago Bears. And then meanwhile, Baltimore, that's as bad as I've ever seen a John Harbaugh coach team play in my life.
There is a real problem Baltimore has that can't be fixed, and it is that offensive line. It was one thing to lose Zuda and Wagner in the offseason, because at least, you know, okay, these guys are gone. We have to work around it. But, Gabe, they're down four guys since training camp began. They did not expect Urschel to retire. Now you've lost three guys to injury, Yanda being arguably the best player on the team. You can't patch it together. When we talk about these offensive line weaknesses, it also means there's not a lot of depth, so you can't get out on the street and sign free agents to come in at this stage. I think it's going to be really difficult for Baltimore to be able to patch something together.
It's amazing. Joe Flacco's throw for 366 yards through three games. 366 yards. Their leading receiver's got 103 yards on the season. I think Cousins threw for 366 on Sunday Night Football, literally. I think that's what he threw for. You know, he's struggling. You know, to me, the Ravens, you know, they're like the family, Dave, that live in a nice neighborhood, and yet they don't shop at the same grocery store. They go to the thrifty store. They go to the dollar store, and they've always been able to maximize and get the most out of it, but you look at the roster that they have. You talk about the offensive line. But you just look at the roster as a whole, Dave, on the offensive side of the football, and it's not really a surprise that Joe Flacco can't throw the football down the field. He doesn't have anybody to throw it to. Nobody's open. And it's not like they have a legitimate star running back either. I really don't understand the construction of this team. You can only do it on smoke and mirrors for so long.
I think part of the construction issue is they might have thought that Flacco was better than he really was. It might have been that the last couple of years they thought they had an A-minus or a B-plus level quarterback, which they don't just have. Because I'll tell you what, Gabe, at a certain point, do you start to look to Ryan Mallett? And the Ravens got those first two wins, but there was almost nothing from Flacco in them. The defense handed those games to him. He was just a game manager. He just doesn't bring much spark out there right now.
Another football game where it's two teams looking to bounce back. Although I'd say, listen, the Broncos weren't embarrassed. The Broncos competed against the Buffalo Bills. It was a hostile football game. It was a competitive football game. It was a very spirited football game. And in fact, our cameraman was at that game. And, you know, I wasn't there, but I've been a Bills fan forever, and I've been in that stadium a lot. And, man, it sounded crazy in there. Like that was a real big atmosphere. You know, Simeon didn't have his best game. And then conversely, you've got the Raiders who really embarrassed themselves. They are similar to Baltimore. They weren't ready to play. There wasn't one facet of the football game that you can say, oh, well, you know what? This unit played well. None of the units played well in that football game. And, you know, are they going to bounce back? It's a tough spot to bounce back. You're playing Sunday night in Washington, D.C., and now here you are. you're on the road against the Denver Broncos, back-to-back road games, and then, you know, zigzagging around the country as well. It's a bad scheduling spot for the Raiders, too.
Yeah, the thing that I'm wondering about them is, might they still have a glass jaw? You know, they won a lot of close games last year because they were in a lot of close games. So if you go back and track it, there was really only one game the entire regular season last year where they got hit in the mouth. That was week 6 against Kansas City. Well, guess what? They didn't score in the second half of that game. They did not choose to compete. They weren't fighting in the fourth quarter. It could be that maybe this team is still a little bit fragile, and when they do take a hard punch, they don't have the maturity yet to get back up off the canvas.
Yeah, we saw Dallas struggle with getting back up off the canvas last night, but they did. But like I said, specifically from Dak Prescott, the Raiders need Carr to step up. They need a leader. You're right. They need to step up and say, you know, elite teams, this doesn't happen to, because the lack of competition was a problem. All right, Dave, Major League Baseball playoffs start, I guess, what, 1 week from today? Next Tuesday, I believe. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a great time of the year. Cardinals got drilled last night by the Cubs. Is that the final nail in their coffin? Probably not yet. It's close. It's close. And, in fact, the Cubs can celebrate, I believe, by winning tonight. And I think they are going to win tonight, actually, the Cubbies on the road tonight. You got Colorado and Arizona. You got the Brewers trying to get in the back door here. How do you think this plays out in the final week, Dave?
You know, a lot of it is you're going to see this positioning aspect. You've got to set your pitching up, of course, for Tuesday. You know, if you're the wild card. For the Cubs, there were some big questions because over the past week, if you're Joe Maddon, you couldn't be confident of Lester, Arrieta, or Lackey as being ready to start in the playoffs. Lester looked okay last night. We'll see what Arrieta brings tonight. Now for the Dodgers, Alex Wood tonight is a big one. This is going to be his last showing before the playoffs. He's had a couple of rocky outings since coming up the DL. His stuff was a little better the last time. If his stuff looks good, then they don't have too much to worry about. So many of these teams still have little decisions to make about the pitching staff, and that's what we're going to see. But not a lot of contested races the rest of the way, so the managers get the ability to start looking ahead.
Is there a team on the radar as far as the futures are concerned that you've got your eye on and you think can go on a deep run?
You know, the funny one is actually the Cubs, who sort of fallen out of the imagination a little bit, despite the fact that they're the defending World Series champs. That Wrigley is going to be a real tough place for anybody to win a game in October. Yeah, the Dodgers and Washington have better top-end pitching, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the Cubs maybe play a little more loose. It's been such a long time since the Dodgers have done well in the playoffs. They're going to be a little tight. The Nationals don't have the postseason experience. They could be a little bit tight. What you're going to see, Cleveland and Chicago are going to go out there much looser, much more relaxed than the other teams. That matters so much in a game like baseball when it's mental energy as much as physical energy.
I'm not making a pick right now. For the record, but everyone knows, before the year started, I said the Dodgers beat the Red Sox in the World Series. So I'm not going to abandon ship. But if I'm looking at two teams right now, that I think, and Dave raised a great point as far as the Cubs are concerned. There's so much hype coming into the year as far as the Cubs. Insanely high win totals and media pressure. But everyone's sort of forgotten about them. But I think that Nationals team, maybe this is the spot that they're able to do it. And then that Cleveland Indian team, people just don't buy into the Indians ever. Yet they're just fundamentally sound, that bullpen. They're a deep team. They're going to be a difficult team to beat in the playoffs. All right, Dave, we got about a minute and a half or so left here. NBA tip-off is around the corner. Quick take on Carmelo Anthony to Oklahoma City.
Oh, they're going to be entertaining. They're going to be fun. I don't think they're going to be any good. You have to guard people. You have to rebound. And sometimes you have to be able to move the ball. And why has Golden State won so many games? Yeah, they have great talent, but they play great basketball. They move the ball. They create shots. I don't know if Anthony is a good fit for OKC at all. That may be extremely awkward for them. The team may not necessarily get any better. Yeah. They had a decent work ethic last year. I don't know if they're going to have the work ethic. So, Gabe, they're going to be real entertaining. I'm just not sure they're going to be real good.
You know, in Golden State, it works for them because they're unselfish. And there's a lot of ball movement. They are unselfish. And let's look at Paul George. Well, what happened in the playoffs last year with Paul George? Guy complained because C.J. Miles took a shot, right? Like, that's not being selfish right there. Paul George is a great player, but, yeah, the chemistry issues could be an issue. All right, Dave, great stuff as always. I really appreciate your time. If you want to get smarter, guys, it's a daily column at sportsbookreview.com. It's right there on the front page. It's a great read. It'll help you make money on a daily basis. Always a pleasure, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's Dave Malinsky with his great stuff with Dave, as always. The Tony Cincotta. Like I said, Dave makes us smarter. Tony makes us dumber. Let's do it.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabe Morenci. We are live. All right, let's bring in the Tony Cincotta right now. We had to shake things up. He was going to join us via Skype, but he joins us via the Fantasy Sports Network hotline. And as I stated, Dave Malinsky joined us earlier, and Dave Malinsky makes us all smarter. And now Tony Cincotta is going to make us, he's going to kill all those, all the knowledge. we're going to get dumber now. All the knowledge we got from Dave, we're going to lose right now with Tony, and we're going to get it all back with Robert Littell a little bit later on. But I'm just busting Tony's balls. The Tony Cincotta joins us. What's up, Tony?
Well, you know what? Last night you may have been right, because I thought you and Cam Stewart on the Red Heat and Rage were on the wrong side of that Monday night game with the Dallas Cowboys. I looked at that secondary and I said, this Carson Palmer is going to feast on these guys. And then all of a sudden, six times he was sacked. He went down about 12 times. The Arizona offensive line was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I got to tell you what, I was really regretting my Dallas Cowboys pick, Tony, in the first half during Red Heat and Rage radio last night. And you're right, Carson Palmer was tearing them apart early in the football game over the middle of the field. And that's going to be a problem for the Cowboys moving forward. There was a lot of green, man. A lot of green and a lot of open space. And they kept running the same play over and over the middle of the field, and it kept on working. I don't know if Goff is going to be able to exploit that in the same way. You know, to me last night, Tony, the Cowboys won because of Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott made some incredible plays last night and showed that he's not a game manager. This guy's a future superstar.
Yeah, I thought he was very good in college, too. And when he got in the fourth round, I said, oh, you know what? He might end up being something. But I like Jared Goff next week for the price based on his quarterback play at $5,600. Dallas has let up the 25th most points at quarterbacks. I think he's a nice, cheap play against that Dallas secondary. And there's no respect for the Rams. Nobody respects the Rams. I mean, the hell, they've moved twice in their life.
Dude, the Rams' offense is good. It's been three games right now. They move the football. They do. You know, it's a little bit difficult on the road, but the fact of the matter is Dallas is a big stadium, but it's not a hostile stadium. You know, the Dallas Cowboys aren't a great home team. It's a very country club type atmosphere in there. Road teams are never really intimidated going into Dallas. And yeah, the Rams have had an extended week to prepare for this football game. So if you're looking for some value, and we saw Sammy Watkins make some plays for the Rams last week, add a little explosiveness to the table. So let's take a look at the quarterbacks this week. The Saints and the Dolphins and the Chiefs and the Redskins are the highest total on the board this week. There's no games in the mid-50s or anything like that. There are a lot of totals in the high 40s this week. Tom Brady, most expensive quarterback on the board. He gets Carolina this week. Now, you and I said last week, well, we don't really like the matchup against Houston. It's pretty clear right now. It really doesn't matter what the freaking matchup is. You know, Tony, there's only two quarterbacks in the NFL that are putting up more than 20 DraftKings points per game. Tom Brady and another guy that we'll get to. Unbelievable, man. 28.1 DK points per game, Tony. It's insane.
He's playing in a different world. I would have never taken him against the Houston Texans. Last week, he was owned by 2.5% of people in the daily fantasy industry. And we're all sitting back going, man, just put this guy in. Now, last year, Carolina defensive backs were one of the worst in the National Football League. And in 2015, they were probably the second-best defense to the Denver Broncos, who ended up beating them in the Super Bowl. So I think this defense is somewhere in between. Right now, they're playing very well, but I don't think they're that good. I think a lot have been some inferior opponents, and we saw Drew Brees have his way with them. I think Tom Brady does the same thing.
Yeah, and he just throws so much. He just can't, you know, if you're going to spend the money, I screwed up, but I have a horrible beat. I'll tell you about the beat before we're done, Tony. I still want to cry about it, but that's another story. So I mentioned there's only two guys, and Sam Bradford did, but he only played one game. So we can't camp Sam Bradford. But through three games, another guy, the guy that you and I were very high on coming into the year, was Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz has been very consistent. He's always moderately priced, although now they've finally started to jack it up a bit. You know, we got him for $5,300 in week one. No more $5,300s on the board for Carson Wentz, but he's been incredibly consistent. Only five touchdowns. There's the two picks, but he just throws the ball so freaking much.
Yeah, I was going back to last year, and I noticed that as a rookie, he had the sixth most passing attempts in the National Football League. And then you look at their lack of running game now. Like, LeGarrette Blount, two games ago, week two, had no carries. They lose Sproles out of the backfield. They got Wendell Smallwood only. I think it only gets better for Carson Wentz going forward.
Yeah, it was 5,300, went up to 5,900, now into $6,600 territory this week. Interesting football game, though, taking on the Chargers right now. And they lost Verrett for the year. You know, Chargers, yep. You can throw the football on the Chargers.
Absolutely. I think he's going to be a guy certainly in play. And his tight end is actually the most reliable tight end right now in fantasy football, Zach Ertz. You put him in the lineup, you're going to get 15 points every week. You don't have to worry about that 1.1 you get from Travis Kelce that did not play from Jordan Reed. Carson Wentz is a very, very solid option there in that Philadelphia passing game.
All right, here's a guy that I'm seriously considering taking this week. I got my eye on him, and I don't think he'll be too heavily owned. Camera 2, Drew's going to like this pick, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, $5,100. This guy's the real deal. He's going to be a great quarterback. He's going to be a really good fantasy quarterback as well. Put up 25 DK points versus the Patriots, 22 of 33, two touchdowns. There were the two interceptions. He turns the ball over a lot. He threw a lot of interceptions in college as well. But that's what happens when you're trying to make plays all the time. But this kid has had two pretty tough matchups. Even though the Patriot defense hasn't been good this year, nevertheless, Tony, opens up, you know, his career on the road at Cincinnati. Or he plays second half against Jacksonville, good defense. At Cincinnati, good defense. At Foxborough in a hostile environment against the Patriots. Now he gets a home game against the Tennessee team that played well this past week, but they also allowed Russell Wilson to put up like 30 points and Doug Baldwin to go off. This is a nice spot for Deshaun Watson to go off for a cheap price at $5,100.
See, there's two guys that I think people are going to go to at a cheap price this week. One is going to be Deshaun Watson at $5,100. And I'd be hesitant there. The New England Patriots have allowed the most points to any quarterback so far during the season. Like, they've been absolutely terrible defensively. And Watson, just like any other quarterback that's playing two or three games in, what are they going to lack? They're going to lack consistency. I think a lot of people also are going to go with the guy right above him, Trevor Siemian, after seeing what Kirk Cousins did in that Oakland secondary. And I think both these guys, I'm a little concerned about. Sometimes you get what you pay for. I'd rather go up $300 or $400 and go with Jared Goff against Dallas secondary, because I think the Rams line could block a lot better than we saw with that Arizona line last night.
I hear where you're going with that. I would prefer, you know, interesting with Goff. I'd have to think about that. And I could live with it because the Rams could be playing from behind in that football game against the Cowboys. I do like Deshaun in this setting, especially back home. He's going to have some swagger right now. I know there's no such thing as moral victories in pro sports, but I think the Texans feel pretty good about themselves and where they're going right now with Deshaun Watson at the quarterback position. But I agree as far as Kirk Cousins is concerned. What's the one thing that Kirk Cousins does? He's such an enigma, Tony, that, you know, everyone says you can't pay this guy big money. He's not an elite quarterback. And then he turns around and he does his 24 or 29 thing like the other night. You like that? And then you're like, man, maybe he is an elite quarterback. And then the next week, you know, he disappears. I don't trust him at Kansas City in this football game. I don't trust Cousins this week on the road.
No Kirk Cousins on the rope. Now, the Kansas City defense, of course, they lost their safety, Berry. It's not the same defense that they've been there. And they're a defense that takes a lot of chances. So it's a lot of times you can make some big plays against them. So I think it could go either way with Kirk Cousins this way. But what about your guy? Your guy, Andy Dalton, 5,800. The Cleveland Browns let up the 28th most points to quarterbacks. What about a little Andy Dalton, A.J. Green? They had it going together. You got to have some love for Andy Dalton. You're his man.
I played Andy Dalton a couple lineups, and I won all my head-to-head matchups with him. No one wanted him. It's going to be my best bet of the week, the Bengals again. They're going to beat the Cleveland Browns, and I agree. We saw the production that they got with Green there. You mentioned the Patriots, and I only bring Cam Newton up because I wouldn't play Cam Newton here, but you mentioned the Pats. They're giving up 24.5 fantasy points per game. They're getting torched, but you can't take Cam Newton here, can you?
Well, here's the thing is before last week's game, New Orleans was the worst defense against quarterbacks in the league, and Cam Newton didn't exploit them. So I don't have the confidence that this is the same Cam Newton we saw 2-3 years ago. I thought there were a lot of leaks in his game. Because he had the sixth worst completion percentage in the history of football last year. The year he won the MVP, he was the fourth worst completion percentage. I remember arguing with you that he had no business being the most valuable player in 2015. And so now that he's not 100% healthy, I think he's in real trouble. And now they dropped a couple of wide receivers, and they're not very good to begin with.
All right, we've only got a minute or two here. You mentioned Andy Dalton, A.J. Green. How about Joe Mixon? You know, he didn't put up massive numbers in that football game against the Packers, but he showed that he can be trusted. He was on the football field, 18 carries in a close game on the road. New offensive coordinator there. I mean, they drafted the kid, and they took some heat for doing it as well. They clearly want to use him. I think moving forward here, Mixon's only going to get better on a weekly basis, and I think potentially he could break out this week, actually, against the Browns.
You watch the games, right, and all of a sudden you see this one guy out of three guys showing a little explosion, one guy that's able to run away from tackles, one guy that's able to take on a hit, and that's Joe Mixon. Like, the eye test has been there.
Yep.
It just wasn't getting an opportunity, and now we're all in.
Yeah, I agree. You can just – and, you know, that's it. He's got fresh legs, and he's hungry. Fresh legs, and he's hungry, and you can see that spark, and it's pretty clear that Laser sees that spark as well. I think you're going to see moving forward – Mixon's going to get some opportunities. I'm telling you guys, he's going to bust a big one soon, too. You can tell. It's coming, man. It's coming. Great stuff. Check out Tony on the lineup lock, 6 o'clock with Dave Martinez on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. And then, of course, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 11 to 3. You give me a call later in the week, Tony. I'll come on again. We'll talk some football.
I can't wait. Fresh legs and hungry. Joe Mixon and Kylie Jenner. Those two, baby.
Tony Sincotta. It's great stuff with Tony Sincotta. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Robert Littell will join us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues. Deep sleepers. Training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we've got a great show so far. Dave Malinsky, Tony Sincotta, the show has absolutely flown by. Let's bring in Robert Littell, the head of blacksportsonline.com. Great website. You hear the radio show on a daily basis right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Networks. So let's bring in Robert right now. Ton of stuff to get to. Robert, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm out here fighting a good fight.
Yeah, and I see you online, man. And, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And you're right at the forefront of this on the front lines. And so, you know, one thing that bothers me most about society right now, and I went on a rant about this last night, is not whatever side anybody's on of anything, is the fact that there are sides. You know what I mean? Like Sean Hannity, you know, Donald Trump could literally you know, kill 13 children on the steps of Fox News, and Hannity's going to tell you, well, it had to be done. You know, like, there's no turning back. And then basically, you know, the people on the left, Rachel Maddow, walking around bitching about Russia 24 hours a day. And then conversely, the supporters on both ends. There's no conversation. You can't change anybody's mind anymore. People are locked in and more locked in than ever, dude.
Yeah, it's, and that is the sad point. I actually talked about this on my radio show earlier today that, like you just said, people are locked in. So you can't change those people's minds. You can't change those people's opinion. What I'm trying to get at are the people that are maybe in the middle ground, maybe the people that just don't understand or maybe not educated. Because in the end, you're going to have to be on one side of history. And do you really want to be on Trump's side of history, or do you want to be on the other side of history? It's just, it's gotten out of control, and it's calculated. That's what a lot of people don't understand. What Trump is doing is very calculated. Let's talk about the NFL. Let's talk about some fluff things to take away from a lot of the serious stuff that is happening in our country right now.
Let me ask you, Robert, because, you know, I'm a white dude. So I'm sitting here. I'm a white dude. And I ask you, and I see, you know, obviously I see the dog whistles and I see what's going on out there. But as an African-American, do you feel attacked by this guy? Like, when he says son of a bitches, do you really think he wants to say the N-word? Because what I said, that's what I thought. I'm thinking that's what he wants to say. That's what you're saying here, right?
When people use code words like that, or they say thugs, or they say not patriotic, or rich black millionaires, and all of that stuff to me is just like, I want to say what I say behind closed doors, but I can't say it in public, so I use all of these code words. And Donald Trump uses it both ways. You know, when he's talking about Nazis and he's talking about white supremacists and the KKK, you know, they have good people on their side. You know, they had a permit to protest. But when we're talking about NFL players and 99% of them are black who are protesting, all of a sudden they're sons of bitches. I mean, it's so clear to anybody that wants to see it that it makes me think that people that don't see it just kind of agree with them.
On the other side of the equation, we live in a society now where there's the social media outrage of the day or the fake outrage of the day on a daily basis, you know, and we're all in the business of it. We're all in a bit. Oh, this guy said this on this cable show, and this guy, and you know, and it goes on and on and on. And then you have the public, you know, with their hashtags. You know, I said this the other day. I live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of people asking for money outside of a gas station. I see people that clearly have money walk right past them, treat them like crap, rudely, etc. And I said these are the same people that are probably, you know, hashtag save the children, right? You know, save the Kofi kids and this and that. And hashtags don't mean jack. So with the protests, I get the right. I get the frustration. I totally understood it with Kaepernick. But right now, is this everyone taking a knee? Is it almost like a human hashtag? Would there be better ways? And I'm not telling them to, hey, sit down and shut up. But would there be better ways in the communities to be more hands-on? Because how many guys are taking a knee and then going to the club and not giving a crap about anything? About changing the world, so to speak, right?
Well, I do think it's getting watered down.
Yes.
And they're starting to use a lot of these PR statements where they're not really talking about the issues. They're talking about unity and don't be so divisive and we're a country of all Americans. It's a bunch of BS, to be honest with you. The statements mean nothing. You know, like I try to say, with issues like this, you got to talk and make people uncomfortable. You can't do what the Cowboys did. You can't just go out there and kneel before the anthem and then lock arms after the anthem.
Yeah, that was garbage. I know. What was that? Like, exactly.
It's you don't really mean it. You're just doing it to try to appease people. You're trying to play both sides of the equation. And like I said, it's making it more watered down. And it's frustrating to me because, like you said, when Kaepernick did it, he was really pissed off about what was going on in our country. And if you wasn't pissed off back when Colin Kaepernick did it, and now you're just, all of a sudden, you know, a year later, all of a sudden you're pissed off, like you haven't seen everything that's been going on since then, I do have to question your motivations for it.
Nothing surprises me anymore, but at the same point in time, it's just so surreal where we're at in society right now and how the tables have flipped. As a gambling man, Yeah, if you would have told me 2 years ago that Roger Goodell one day will release a statement ripping the president of the United States, I'd say, you know what, I'll take that bet. I'll give you $100,000 right now that that'll never happen no matter what. They're the most apolitical type of people, and, you know, they're the most conservative type of people to never do that. LeBron James, you would remember more than I would, actually, Robert, but remember years ago there was a guy on a team, and didn't he have a campaign for, like, people in Africa? There was a slaughter genocide going on, and LeBron didn't really want a part of it. You know, he pushed LeBron, and he was disappointed. He was like, dude, you got a major platform. And LeBron was like, I really don't do these type of things. And you know, it was sort of from the Michael Jordan, hey, Republicans buy shoes too. I don't get into this. Clearly, LeBron, as a man, is a different person right now. Because, he's with Sprite. That's Coca-Cola. The McDonald's is of the world. It's as mainstream America as you can get. And he steps up and he calls the president a bum. That's something that I never would have imagined a couple of years ago from LeBron James.
You know what I think happens? I think when players are young, and like you said, this was years ago, and they're still finding their way. You know, you got to remember these players, a lot of these athletes are early 20s. And I know in my early 20s, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any, like, real goals. Like, yeah, I went to college, but I partied most of the time. When it came to social issues and politics, I cared nothing. I didn't really care about. All I cared about was myself and then going to the club and getting in and all of this stuff. So a lot of these athletes, I understand, they're 22, 23 years old. They don't remember. Some of them, you, like, ask them about 9/11. They don't remember stuff like that. They don't remember, you know, the civil rights movement. They know about Martin Luther King, about, you know, what they've seen in a couple of history books and stuff like that. So I get it. But I think as they get older, and they get married, and they have kids, and they have sons, and they have daughters, and then they see how society treats not the rich black people, how they treat the poor black people. And then they realize, hey, man, that could be my son, that could be my daughter. Look what I had to deal with growing up. And I think they become more woke, as the kids like to say. And when you're LeBron James, you're Steph Curry, you have security that other people don't. Nobody's going to fire LeBron. Nobody's going to fire Steph Curry. So I think they get their voices as they become older and see what's happening in society.
We've only got like 30 seconds to get out of here, but I know there's a lot of people even watching right now thinking, I just want to watch football. They should sit down and shut up. And I get that part of the argument. But I saw Julius Thomas, tight end with the Miami Dolphins, on CNN last night. I'd never really seen him in an interview before. Incredibly well-spoken man. And he said, you know, when Kaepernick was doing it before, I wasn't feeling him. And I really didn't. And he goes, I understood him, but I wasn't in. And he said, you know, when he called a son of a bitches, and he goes, he basically was using an N-word to me. And he goes, I can't sit here now. Because that's the thing to a lot of white people that are out there. They don't want to put themselves in your guy's shoes, dude. That's what it comes down to. It's absolutely. Like, you know, you just called sons of bitches. Do you guys understand that? Do you want him to say thank you, sir? Like, what do you want him to do? But yeah, exactly. We got to get out of here.
I understand. Like I said, you're woke. You understand what's going on. So you keep preaching that and talking that talk.
Yeah, I get a lot of hate, too. I get a lot of hate, too. Hey, apathy kills, man. Love me, hate me, just pay attention, right? Hey, thanks, Robert.
No problem.
All right, Robert Latell with us. Come back with our plays of the day.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, unlike usual, when I usually have about 5 minutes for my plays of the day, I've only got about 30 seconds today. All right, Houston Astros. I don't really understand this line. I'm going to take Dallas Keuchel in this spot. Cubs can pop the booze tonight. They can lock down the division. I think they will. Cardinals got beat up last night. I think their will is about to be broken. Give me the Cubbies this evening. And give me the Angels tonight. I think the Angels in a must-win situation. Nice pitching spot for the Halos this evening. Hopefully we can go 2-1, but I think we go 3-0. May the winners be yours.